Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you, singing Alleluia, Alleluia.
Welcome to the Go and Teach Bible Study broadcast presented by the Monte Vista Church of Christ in Phoenix, Arizona. I'm Ken Leach, preacher at Monte Vista, and your host for the next 30 minutes or so. The great prophet Isaiah once said, "Come, let us reason together." That expresses well what I hope to achieve on these radio programs.
Alleluia. America and the church face a burning issue of homosexuality today as never before. On June the 30th, 1985, 100,000 marched in San Francisco, celebrating the 13th annual Gay and Lesbian Freedom Day. Another 100,000 lined the streets to show their support of the marchers. The city of West Hollywood in California has a population of around 50,000, and one-third of its residents are avowed homosexuals. Efforts seem to be made on every hand to obtain a stamp of approval for homosexuality from the very lowest of man to the very highest of government. Troy Perry founded the Metropolitan Community Church in Los Angeles that now claims over 1,000 homosexual members. It has become the mother church of homosexual churches in the 50 United States cities and 110 worldwide places that claim a membership of over 100,000 people. Since D. Sherman Bailey published the book Homosexuality in the Western Christian Tradition in 1955, homosexuals have become unusually aggressive in their interpretation of the scriptures. He said, for example, in that book, that inhospitality was perhaps the greatest sin of Sodom. The homosexual person is one that desires and finds sexual fulfillment of the same sex. Heterosexual people desire and find sexual fulfillment in one of the opposite sex. Since homosexual is derived not from the Latin word homo, meaning man, but from the Greek word homos, meaning same, it may be used in reference to either male or female participants. The word lesbian refers only to female homosexuals. Christians must no longer ignore the issue. It goes without saying that within our own community, there have been protests and massive media coverage to the assault of the homosexuals on a business by the name of Chick-fil-A. And their business has been disrupted, and the warfare is more open every single day, it seems. It will not go away by itself. Homosexual acts, my friends, are sinful. There is no doubt of that. But we must discern between the person and the sin. God loves all sinners, but he hates all sin. Christ died for all men. The soul of the homosexual is equally precious before God as the soul of the heterosexual. Homosexuals are completely human. We must strive to better understand them so that we might help those that want our assistance to break out of the bondage of homosexuality. And thus is the reason for our lesson this day. It was during the patriarchal age when Sodom and Gomorrah were destroyed. You can read about that in the 19th chapter of the book of Genesis. And while it was not stated that they were destroyed because of homosexuality, it does become clear that homosexual acts were a major fault in that city. Homosexual implications were in the request made by the men of Sodom, asking Lot to bring them, that's the angels, out unto us that we may know them, in chapter 19 of Genesis, verse 5. The same Hebrew word, yada, translated know, is found in Genesis 4 and verse 1, and Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived. Adam knew Eve by having heterosexual relations with her. The men of Sodom wanted to know the angels by having homosexual relations with them. Compare the men of Gilboa in Judges, the 19th chapter, who wanted to know the Levite by having homosexual relations, but when that request was denied, they took his concubine and knew her by having heterosexual adulterous relations that were forced or by rape. Bailey insists that since Yada has appeared 943 times in Scripture and only 14 of those refer to sexual knowledge, that the odds are against a sexual reference in Genesis 19 and verse 5. Oswalt effectively answers that criticism. Quote, "This interpretation is astounding. Odds have nothing to do with linguistic use. Context determines meaning. If the word never had a sexual usage elsewhere, but the etymology permitted it and the context demanded it, that would be enough." Unquote. The impression has often been left that homosexuality was the only sin of Sodom. It was a sin, but not the only sin. Nor is it accurate for one to claim that inhospitality was gang rape, or that tells the whole story. The sins of Sodom were many. They were sins of injustice, according to Isaiah 1, verses 10 through Isaiah 17, verse 3 through 9. The sins were adultery, lying, condoning evil, encouraging wickedness, according to Jeremiah 23 and verse 14. Pride and gluttony, neglect of the poor, were sins of Sodom, as listed in Ezekiel 16 and verse 49. Homosexuality was a sin in Sodom, Jude, the 7th verse. The people of Sodom had indulged in those sins for many years, so God gave them up, according to Romans, the 1st chapter, verse 24, 26, and 28. History reveals that both Greek and Roman civilizations increased in homosexual activities before they fell. Homosexuality is not associated with emerging societies, but it is with declining ones. Two passages clearly condemn homosexual acts in under the law of Moses. Thou shalt not lie with mankind as with womankind. It is an abomination, is what Leviticus 18 and verse 22 says. If a man also lie with mankind, he lie as he lieth with a woman, both of them have committed an abomination, and they shall surely be put to death. Their blood shall be upon them, is what Leviticus 20 and verse 13 says. Homosexual acts were not isolated by law as the only sexual sins, nor were they labeled more evil than other sexual sins. Incest and adultery and bestiality were all condemned by the law, demanding the death penalty, according to Leviticus, the 20th chapter. God intended from the beginning that man's sexual fulfillments be met through a heterosexual marital relationship. That is found in Hebrews, the 13th chapter, and verse 4. Homosexuals will say that the law only prohibited Israel from engaging in Gentile idolatrous cultic rites, not a condemnation against all homosexual acts. But that's simply not the case. But then they say that if the homosexual is not an idolater, his homosexual acts are acceptable. It has been suggested that the command against homosexual acts was on the same level as the requirements given to the Jews to plant their fields with only one kind of seed or to wear clothes with only one kind of material, that found in Leviticus 19 and verse 19. They were all apart, we're told, by those that support the homosexuality within religion. They were all a part of Israel's holiness code and nothing more than that. Well, God did give some laws reminding Israel of their divine purity and that they were a set-apart people. But breaking those laws didn't call for the death penalty, nor are the same laws given in the New Testament. But on the other hand, homosexual acts were moral issues. Breaking them called for the death penalty, and they've been condemned in all three ages, that in the patriarchal, in the Mosaic, and in the Christian dispensation of time. The form of the Greek word arsenotes, as it appears in 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 9, and 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 10, and is translated in the King James as abusers of themselves with mankind, and them that defile themselves with mankind, is worthy of our consideration. Other translations read homosexuals and sodomites when it translates that Greek word. That's the Revised Standard Version. And homosexual offenders and perverts is the translation of the New International Version. Baxter defines the Greek word as one who lies with a male, a sodomite. Thayer defines the word as one who lies with a male as with a female, a sodomite. Arndt and Gingrich reads a male homosexual, a pederast, sodomite. The word arsenkenotes is formed by combining two Greek words, arsen, which means a male, and koite, which is a bed. Literally, a man who goes to be with another man. Sexual implications are in the word. You might compare Hebrews 13 and verse 4 and Romans 13 and verse 13 in your study of the subject. There have been some that have attempted to show that these verses cannot condemn all homosexual acts by suggesting that it wasn't until the 1800s that the word homosexual was first used. But to them, they say that the ancients made no distinctions between heterosexual and homosexual people. Harold Greenlee answers that argumentation by saying, quote, "As to precisely when the English word homosexual originated, Boswell may be correct, but the ancient Greeks and Romans did not speak English," unquote. Dr. Greenlee goes on to quote numerous articles throughout history and numerous authorities throughout history, the history of Christianity in particular, showing that although the word homosexual may be lately coined, that the early Christians certainly knew the Greek word arsenokes, and that it referred to sodomites as sin of sexual perversion. Another Greek word relating to the homosexual acts is malakos. That's M-A-L-A-K-O-S, malakos. That's defined by Baxter as soft, soft to touch, and delicate, and it's found in Matthew the 11th chapter and verse 8 and Luke 7 and verse 25. An instrument of unnatural lust, effeminate, is how it's translated in 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 9. Thayer adds, quote, "In a bad sense, effeminate, or a catamite, a male who submits his body to unnatural lewdness." 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 9, unquote. Arndt and Gingrich defines it in a similar way, and then cites several writings from the first three centuries of the church to show that the same meaning has been understood since the very earliest days of Christianity. Malakoi, a form of Malakoas, is found in 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 9 and translated effeminate in the King James Version. The New International translates it male prostitutes. The New King James translates it homosexual. The use of the effeminate, along with the word fornicators and adulterers, homosexuals, lends support to the sexual aspect of the word. Those practicing such, according to 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 10, shall not inherit the kingdom of God. It'd be wrong to claim that all homosexuals are effeminate in manner, in dress, or in action. Some homosexuals are entirely virile, masculine, but all become effeminate in their actions by permitting their bodies to be used as a woman for sexual purposes by another man, claiming that the word effeminate is only a general condemnation of self-indulgence, as some homosexual writers say. That completely overlooks the understanding of homosexual acts held from even the first centuries. Neither does Paul single out homosexual acts as being the only sexual sins, but he does classify them as being sinful. A third Greek word relating to the study of homosexuality is akatharisia. It is used 10 times in the New Testament and consistently translated uncleanness by the King James Version, and usually translated impurity by later versions. Of the word, Baxter says, quote, uncleanness, lewdness, impurity of motive, unquote. Thayer's definition, quote, uncleanness, a physical act, refers to Matthew 23 and verse 37, Matthew 6, verse 19, 2 Corinthians 12, verse 21, Galatians 5, verse 19, Ephesians 4 and verse 19, Ephesians 5 and verse 3, Colossians 3 and verse 5, 1 Thessalonians 4 and verse 7, and it's used for impure motives, 1 Thessalonians 2 and verse 3, unquote. The examination of these verses reveals the sexual implications of the word akatharsia in most every use. God gave the Gentiles up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts to dishonor their bodies between themselves, according to Romans 1 and verse 24. They were guilty of uncleanness through homosexual acts. In 2 Corinthians 12 and verse 21, Paul pleads for the repentance of those that were guilty of uncleanness and fornication and lasciviousness. In Galatians 5 and verse 19, Paul places the word between fornication and lasciviousness. In Ephesians 5 and verse 3 and Colossians 3 and verse 5, the use of the word is there along with the word fornication. Fornication is from the Greek word porneia, a word including all illicit sexual behavior. Well, a fourth Greek word is pousis, a form of which is translated natural and nature in the King James in Romans chapter 1, verse 26 and 27. Homosexual acts are said to change the natural use into that which is against nature. But to what does natural and nature refer? Kittle states that pousis was early used in relating to birth not acquired by learning. This is an important point. A reading of Romans, the 11th chapter, verse 21 and 24, shows the natural branches of an olive tree were the Jews who had inherited the rights by being the fleshly seed of Abraham, whereas the Gentiles were unnatural or grafted branches. The natural in Romans 11 is our word pousin. A natural relates to acquisition by birth. Heterosexual relationships are natural. Homosexual relationships are unnatural. Perverted actions resulted when men left the natural use of the woman and burned in their lust one toward another. They acted as the men of Sodom and Gomorrah, whose homosexual acts are described as going after the strange flesh in Jude, the 7th verse. God made sexual beings when he created Adam and Eve, and he made them male and female, Genesis 1 and verse 27. He did not create sexless beings, nor did he make them the same sex. He made Adam and Eve, not Adam and John, or even Mary. Therefore shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall cleave to his wife, not another man, and they shall be one flesh, Genesis 2 and verse 24. Two men or two women cannot become one flesh, nor can two of the same sex obey the command to be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth that is found in Genesis 1 and verse 28. All regulations regarding marriage and the family apply to heterosexual unions. God gave no directions for homosexual relationships. It was not an oversight on his part that he didn't either. Homosexuals say that they are born homosexuals, and therefore it is just as natural for them to be that way as for one to have blue eyes or to be left-handed. Thus, they say, an attempt to change homosexuals is against nature. Daniel Capone cites works by Pear, by Barr, and by himself, as well as others, showing that there is absolutely no chromosome or hormone differences accounting for homosexual behavior. Capon concludes in his study, quote, "This fact should arrest once and for all the false speculations about the genetic base of homosexuality." James Meadows has collected statements from authorities denying that homosexual behavior is by birth. Homosexual persons are not born that way. They're made that way. Sheldon and Hemphill have disproved the theory that homosexuality is due to body build or disposition or temperament. Some have said that lower animals tend to be homosexual, and this suggests man's inclinations as well. But research has shown that lower animals almost never engage in homosexual activity while in the wild, but may sometimes when they become perverted in captivity. The argument that Romans 1 only condemns perverted sexual acts, homosexual committed by heterosexuals, or homosexual acts connected with idolatry completely misses the point. There is a condemnation of all homosexual acts, whether performed by a homosexual or by a heterosexual, and whether committed as part of an idolatrous worship or apart from it. Get it now? All homosexual acts are sinful. Defenders of homosexuality say Romans 1 cannot refer to true homosexuals who want to remember God. Love and remembering God, they say, make homosexuality acceptable. Such a person loves Jesus Christ, they say, and wants above all to acknowledge God in their life, yet for some unknown reason feels drawn to some one of the same sex for the sake of love rather than lust. Is it fair, they say, to describe that person as lustful or desirous of forgetting God's existence? Well, according to that line of thinking, incest or any adulterous relationship wouldn't be wrong if one remembers God and has love. The problem with their understanding is that lust becomes their understanding of love. Expecting homosexuals to stop engaging in homosexual acts is said to place them under the law rather than under grace. They remind us that nowhere do we read of Christ telling anyone to stop engaging in homosexual acts in order to follow him. Homosexual tendencies are learned, and they can be unlearned as well as learned. Not many years ago, the alcoholics contended that they were incurable, but we know through time that that is not the case. In recent years, some have passed from the homosexual life to the heterosexual life. But if one cannot overcome the homosexual tendencies, they can be controlled in the same way as another controls an urge to commit incest or adultery. God loves the homosexual person just as much as the heterosexual person, and he hates the adultery of the heterosexual just as much as he hates the sexual acts of the homosexual. Remember, God hates sin. God loves the sinner. Thank you for listening.
Thank you for joining me today. If you enjoy Bible-centered study, why not come visit the Monte Vista Church of Christ? We're located on the west side of 40th Street between McDowell and Thomas Roads. 2202 North 40th Street is our address. We have Bible classes for all ages each Sunday morning at 9:30 and each Wednesday evening at 7. Everyone interested in God's revelation to man is welcome. We also assemble for worship following our Sunday morning Bible classes, and then again on Sunday evenings at 6 o'clock. Until next time, this is Ken Leach, hoping you have unlimited opportunity to let your light shine for Jesus Christ. Amen.